Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon from River Ridge Church in North Mankato, Minnesota. Our prayer is that the Lord would be blessed to use this sermon for His glory and the good of His people. If you have any questions or comments, you can send an email to office@riverridgecato.org. May you be blessed in Jesus.
Well, good morning. My name is David Anderson. I am one of the elders here, for those of you who do not know. And Derek, I am filling the pulpit today for Derek. He's graciously invited me up here, so I'm honored to be up here. He is out on vacation right now in Florida, so I believe he is probably having a pretty good time. Our text this morning is going to be in Hebrews 10, 19 through 39. Again, Hebrews 10, 19 through 39. As you're turning there, I want to tell you a little bit about our message today. Today I'm going to preach a message about a call to persevere. This message was inspired by my grandfather. You see, my grandfather is 95 years old, and yet he's still preaching every week at his senior living home. And even at 95, he is still pressing on. The sermon felt appropriate and sort of honor to him as well. He is truly an inspiration to me. So again, I am honored to be able to preach this message today, to have used his sermon to help us unpack our text here this morning. And I really hope that it's a blessing to you as well. So Hebrews 10, 19 through 39. And I'm going to encourage you to keep this text open as we go through the sermon today, as we're going to be bouncing throughout this text, as we kind of unravel this text this morning. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourself had a better possession, an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and persevere their souls. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I come before you this morning. Lord, I ask for your help, for your guidance, for your direction, Lord. I pray, God, that you would get me out of the way, Lord, so that your words would be heard. And Father, I pray that everyone here would have ears to hear, to understand, to apply. Lord, I just pray, God, that you would let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So my grandfather shared an old newspaper clipping with me about a man that had a report to his insurance company about an accident he had at his work after being questioned about his injuries. This story dates back, as far as I can tell, about 100 years ago. I think there's traces of it back to 1917 or 18. And if this story is true, it has to be the funniest yet saddest insurance claim there is. His letter to the insurance company goes like this. Dear sir, I'm writing in response to your request for additional information in block number 3 of accident report form. I put poor planning as a cause of my accident. You asked for a fuller explanation, and I trust the following details will be sufficient. I'm a bricklayer by trade. On the day of the accident, I was working alone on the roof of a new 6-story building. When I completed my work, I found I had some bricks left over, which when weighed later were found to weigh 240 pounds. Rather than carry the bricks down by hand, I decided to lower them in a barrel by using a pulley, which was attached to the side of the building at the 6th floor. Securing the rope at ground level, I went up to the roof, swung the barrel out, and loaded the bricks onto it. Then I went down and untied the rope, holding it tightly to ensure a slow descent of the 240 pounds of brick. You will note on the accident report form that my weight is 135 pounds. Due to my surprise at being jerked off the ground so suddenly, I lost the presence of my mind and I forgot to let go of the rope. Needless to say, I proceeded at a rapid rate up the side of the building. In the vicinity of the 3rd floor, I met the barrel, which was now proceeding downward at an equally impressive speed. This explains the fractured skull, minor aberrations, the broken collarbone, as listed in Section 3, Accident Report Form. Slowed only slightly, I continued my rapid ascent, not stopping until my fingers and my right hand were 2 knuckles deep into the pulley, which I mentioned in paragraph 2 of this correspondence. Fortunately, by this time, I had regained my presence of mind and was able to hold tightly to the rope, in spite of the excruciating pain I was now beginning to experience. At approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground, and the bottom broke out of the barrel, now devoid of the weight of the bricks. The barrel weighed approximately 50 pounds. I refer you again to my weight. As you can imagine, I began a rapid descent down the side of the building in the vicinity of the 3rd floor. I met the barrel coming up. This accounts for the 2 fractured ankles, broken tooth, the severe lacerations of my legs and lower body. Here, my luck began to change slightly. The encounter with the barrel seemed to slow me enough to lessen my injuries when I fell into the pile of bricks. Unfortunately, only 3 vertebrae were cracked. I am sorry to report, however, as I lay there on the pile of bricks in pain, unable to move and watching the empty barrel 6 stories above me, I again lost my composure and presence of mind and let go of the rope. So my grandfather had used this story as sort of a launching pad into his sermon that he titled, Tie a Knot and Hang On. And this is the title of our sermon here this morning as well. And I also believe this is a good illustration for our text, to hold on and to not let go like the man did in our story. To not let go of our faith in Jesus Christ, to persevere, to not shrink back like our text says. No matter how hard it might get, no matter the state of mind you might be in, or even in those times when you might feel like you're doing okay. Pastor Derek last week mentioned being at the end of your rope. And I want to talk a little bit more about this rope of yours. Actually, I want to talk about another rope, not your rope, but God's rope that he sends down for us to hold on to. This is the rope we need to grab a hold of, and not just grab a hold of, but tie a knot and hang on. Many times when rescue crews are rescuing someone who is drowning in a river, they will throw a rope with knots on it to the person to grab a hold of and onto to help them get a stronger grip. And likewise, we need to know how and what it looks like to strengthen our grip as a church. We all have times in our lives where we find ourselves at the end of our rope, at the end of ourselves, when everything's going wrong. The things we plan, they don't work out. A loved one dies. Our bills are piling up. We thought our marriage was solid, but our mate left us. Maybe you are being persecuted or tormented because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're just stressed with the normal, ordinary aspects of life, and you feel depressed. We all have been a part of and have seen and witnessed people fighting through these trials. In the last few years, we have witnessed here in our church a few parents suffer as they watch their kids struggle for survival after very severe injuries from accidents. When things looked very dim, when it felt as though the world was falling apart around them, they did not shrink back, but they clung on to Jesus and trusted him. A journal entry from one of these parents a year after the incident with their son read as such. 1 year ago, it feels like a lifetime ago, and yet like just yesterday. 1 year ago, we crumbled in our driveway and watched the helicopter take our son away, not knowing if we would ever see him breathe again. 1 year ago, we rushed alongside him, being pushed to emergency surgery room, and then were held back by nurses as we watched the doors close behind him. 1 year ago, all of our plans and all of our control was taken away, and the only thing we had left was completely trusting and surrendering our sweet boy to God. And now, 1 year later, we are in awe of what God has done. We have a daily reminder of his goodness, faithfulness, and power. We get to see our son run and play and learn and tell jokes just like any other 8-year-old boy. Things that to anyone but God seemed impossible 1 year ago. And know that this is your faith, church, that regardless of how bad things look or how bad things turn out, you have faith in the power and the goodness of God, so you hold on to it, keeping from giving up. You don't let go of that rope. You tie a knot and you hang on, because that's your only security. It's all you have left. It's our only hope, no matter the circumstances. There is no other hope. There's no other purpose. My grandfather put it something like this. Sometimes I think it's like God threw a rope down from heaven, a rope made up of 3 strong parts, a rope made up of love, faith, and hope. This rope is not weak. It never grows old. It never wears down. This rope is eternal and everlasting, and it is there for all who believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And when we have come to the end of our strength, when we feel done, God says there is a rope. It's his rope. Tie a knot and hang on. Hebrews chapter 10, again, is a call to persevere, an encouragement to persevere. It is about patient endurance, to hold on, to keep our faith, and to look to Jesus for our hope, even during the trials and temptations of this life on this earth. And I want to talk this morning about the three strong parts of this rope: a rope made up of love, a rope made up of faith, and a rope made up of hope. So a rope made up of love. What is this love that this rope is made up of? I think we need to really consider this before we dive into anything else, before we can understand how we as Christians can persevere and to push onward. Our text this morning starts off with a reason for our strength as Christians, our strength to hold on even in the midst of trials and tribulations. Our strength is found in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10, 19 through 20. At the beginning of our text this morning, it says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh." I don't want you, church, to gloss over this because you know it, or if you've heard it a million times. There is a reason why we here at River Ridge preach the gospel message every week. There is a reason why the apostle introduced this section about perseverance with the good news of Jesus Christ. Actually, if you look back through the first 9 chapters of Hebrews, it's all about the sufficiency and the superiority of Christ. I fear sometimes as Christians, when we preach on this over and over, you might become desensitized and tend to gloss over it or take it lightly. Our minds tend to quickly say, I know that. Now give me some meat, something new. Give me some profound and deep theology. And it's great, it really is, that you want to discover more about God. There's a vast sea of wonderful things for you. But don't forget, friend, that this is as deep as it gets. The gospel of Jesus is the very core of our theology. This is what everything and what the entire Bible is built off of. Don't get so wrapped up in ministry, in religion, in gaining knowledge. You forget that everything must point to Jesus. Because without it, and without the blood of Christ, nothing else matters. Without his blood, you have no rope to hang on to. If you forget about the power and the love of Jesus displayed for us on the cross of Calvary, then when trials hit and temptations come, when you are at the end of your rope, you will not have the strength to hold on. Again, our power is only because of his blood. It is the reason we don't need a high priest to talk with our Lord. We don't need to wait for Moses to come down from the mountain to tell us what Jesus said. Remember, church, the amazing privilege that you have to boldly and humbly go up that mountain or go into the temple of the Most High. Because through the curtain of his flesh, you are made clean. It is the reason when you are going through struggles of life, you are able to run up that mountain and cast your cares on him, because he cares for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This rope that is thrown down to you, it will not perish. It provides strength. It is sufficient to cover all sins. Jesus is the only way to salvation. All other options will fail. If you are here, church, and you have not grabbed a hold of this rope, I urge you to grab onto it. To experience the love of Christ, And for you that have known this love, don't become desensitized to it. But as our text states in verse 32, continually remember the work of our Lord and Savior in his blood that was shed for you and me. If you look down in the middle of our text today, it says in Hebrews 10, 26 through 31, for if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that consumes the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Church, you have heard the good news of Jesus. If you cut the rope and abandon this rope, something far worse than 50 pounds of brick is plummeting towards you. It is the wrath of the Almighty God. This should cause you to tremble. If you disregard the living God, apostasy is not a game to be played with. God is not something to be put off or something to be planned on later in your life after you fed your wild oats. You may not live to take another breath. But there's good news. We have a rope to hang on to. A rope that has power to stop the imminent death, to stop the wrath of God. It is the rope of love, grace, and mercy. It is the blood of Jesus. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you grab this rope to his rope, tie a knot and hang on, he is faithful to fulfill his promise of salvation. You have no reason to be scared. I'm not promising an easy life. You see that from illustrations and stories and examples. You will experience pain on this journey. You will experience turmoil. This is why the apostle calls you to persevere in your faith and to not shrink back. You'll be left hanging there and feeling alone at times, but don't let go. Instead, cling on to it that much more. This is sufficient to get you through any trial, any hardship, any persecution. This leads me to my second part of this rope. A rope made up of faith, made up of his faithfulness, God's faithfulness. If you look back down at our text, after it talks about the power of the blood of Jesus, it goes on in verse 22 through 23. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You see, we can have faith because he is faithful. We don't need to question whether or not this rope is going to give out and fail us. We can be bold and confident. We can grab a hold of this faith we have in Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is of the blood of Jesus Christ and his faithfulness. You may ask, how do I know God is faithful? How do I know he's faithful when it feels like everything in my life is falling through and I keep getting hit with struggle after struggle? When persecution comes and I feel alone, when the ordinary aspects of life become mundane and I just have a hard time putting one foot in front of the other, I would ask you the question, have you grabbed a hold of this rope that I'm talking about today? Have you? Not just grabbed a hold of it, but actually tied a knot to ensure that you never let go. How will you know and experience his faithfulness if you have not grabbed on with both hands? You can't fully understand his faithfulness, his grace, the power of this rope if you have not grabbed a hold of it and put all your trust in it. Likewise, a person skydiving is not putting his full faith in a parachute if he continues to hang on to the plane with one hand after he jumped out. This man will never understand the reliability of his parachute if he has not made the full jump. Some of you are still hanging on to the world while also trying to put your faith in God. You're clinging to your faith in things of this world and to your sinful flesh. You may be clinging to your pride, to a lie, to material items, to greed, to money, to envy, to sexual immorality, or just pure laziness. But it's not until you make the full jump and put your full trust in Jesus that you will experience his faithfulness. You will never be able to see or experience the feeling of the parachute opening in the fullness of his love. In the same way, if you don't trust in God fully, turning from your sins and the things of this world and the desires of your flesh, and grab a hold of him and his love, you will never experience his faithfulness. On the other hand, some of you may be pretty comfortable on that plane. Why do I need a jump? You don't see that that plane you are headed on is headed towards destruction. You don't see that that plane you are headed on is doomed to crash. Then all of a sudden, God sends the turbulations and the engines fail and the plane starts to go down. Sometimes God sends these hard times to help you realize your need for a Savior, your need to jump out of that plane and put your full reliance upon him. Some of you may still be in that plane trying to make it work. Instead of trusting him, you are only complaining with self-pity and asking, why does everything happen to me? I am here this morning, church, to throw you the parachute, to tell you to jump so that you can experience his faithfulness in your life. Watch the thrust of his saving power, his love, open up and land you safe in his arms. So what does it mean to jump? It means you open the word of God, that you follow the words that are in here. As Pastor Derek said last week, you call out to God. You listen to his promises. You pray, and you watch them come to reality. This again, church, does not mean your life and the journey to safe haven will not come with trials and hardships and struggles. But we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. The hymn writer said it well, and it'll be up here on the screen. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the laborers increase. To added afflictions, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our storehouse of endurance, whenever strength has failed, where the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only just begun. Church, hold on to the rope made up of love, faith, and hope. Tie a knot and hang on to Jesus. The Bible has a lot to say about holding on. For the sake of time, I'm going to just share one this morning. I'm going to let you hear how Paul in the Bible described what he was facing. And with Paul, it was one thing after another. It didn't stop. If I had been Paul, I might have said, I don't deserve this. I need a break. I'm tired of dealing with one problem after another. This is what he said in his own words. 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 29. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the sea, danger in the wilderness, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I am weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? But Paul tied a knot and he hung on, went on regardless. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. He found his strength in God. And as he hung on to this rope, he said in 2 Corinthians 4:7-10, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies." We, church, are as fragile jars of clay. But if you grab a hold of this rope made up of love, faith, and hope, your clay jar contains the strength, the power, and the treasure that comes from our Lord. The only reason you can hold on to this rope, the only reason you can hold on to it is because of what is living on the inside of you. It is Him who gives you the endurance and the strength to hang on. It is not in your own power, but His. When you tie a knot and you hang on, you will experience His faithfulness because you will start to realize just how dependent you are upon God. You will realize more and more how fragile and weak you really are. And when this happens, when you can finally humble yourself before Christ and stop relying upon your own strength and grab a hold of Him and trust Him, then and only then will you see the surpassing power of our Lord fully displayed and opened. When you are struck down and trials hit, difficult times come, and your jar of clay feels like it's just going to shatter and it's going to break, then you have a rope to cling to. Tie a knot and hang on. Don't just hang on, but look up vertically to our Lord. Our life should be vertically focused on the hope that we have, the confident expectation we hold in the Lord's promise. Finally, our text ends with, in verses 32 through 39, "But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with suffering, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach in affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession, an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and persevere their souls." I want to end today by talking briefly about clinging on to this hope. The last material of our rope this morning, a rope made up of hope. Hope is an extension of the definition of our faith. So again, we see that we can only have hope because of his faithfulness. Both faith and hope go hand in hand. If you want to separate the two, you could say that faith is believing upon the Lord, Savior, and the promise of the cross. And hope is looking forward to the future promise of Jesus' return and our eternal salvation in a land of paradise. The apostle gives us this call to persevere, to look toward the hope we have in Christ, because he knows this Christian walk is not going to be easy. Walking through this world as a Christian will bring tribulation. Many times we want to ignore the promise God makes us that we will live through hard times and we will be persecuted and we will have struggles and spiritual struggles here on this earth. It's not going to be easy, but in those moments, we can look to Christ. We can look up vertically from our rope and see him in the coming of our Lord and Savior. This is what fuels us as Christians, what causes us to press on and to fight the good fight, to go to war. We don't do this in and of ourselves. We have the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us, within jars of clay. And we have the power of Christ among us. Church, we should not also be looking up vertically for strength, but we should be looking horizontally as Christ is living among us within the church. We can see his faithfulness within the church of Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:17 reads, "Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we partake of one bread." I'll take a look at our text again in Hebrews 10:24-25. "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day draw near." Faithful anticipation is what should characterize the church's daily life. Are you having compassion on those in prison? And are you joyfully accepting the plundering of your property, since you know that you yourselves have a better possession and an abiding one? Again, faithful anticipation is what should characterize the church's daily life. Holding one another up in our weaknesses and strengths as we look to the hope we have in Christ. Not tearing each other down. Sacrificial love for one another, because in doing so, you are sacrificing your life for this God who died for your sins. Those of you who neglect meeting and gathering together within the church are not only not tying a knot and hanging on, you are intentionally cutting the very rope Christ has thrown down to you to hang on to cling to. You are cutting yourself from the very means whereby Christ feeds, assures, and protects his people. Well, so much could be said here, but most simply put, church, do not cut the very rope we are talking about today by neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. As a church and as individuals, we demonstrate our endurance in the faith if we do the will of God. I want to make it really clear this morning that our endurance to hang on is not how we are saved. It is not how we are saved, but our ability to hold on is our evidence that he is with us. It is evidence of his faithfulness. Our text wraps up with a call to faithful endurance. As a church and as individuals, we demonstrate our endurance in the faith if we do the will of God. We demonstrate our endurance when we, as a body of Christ, come together and tie a knot on this rope and hang on together and look up vertically to the hope we have and the promise of Christ's return. 35-36, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Don't lose your focus. Tie a knot and hang on. We all go through times when we are anxious and confused, when things seem hopeless, when our hearts are breaking, when we feel so alone. Many times we won't have an explanation or even understand why things happen the way that they do, but hold on to the hope of Jesus Christ. This is my exhortation to you this morning. Hold on to the rope that is made up of love, faith, and hope. Don't be like the man in our story at the beginning. He lost his presence of mind and gave up. He let go of the rope and suffered for it. Remember, tie a knot and hang on, and I have good news for you. While you're doing that, Psalms 139:10 says, "Even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me." In conclusion today, I'm going to end with a reading of a portion of a Christmas letter that I am sure many of you have received from Bob Timm. This wasn't even really planned to be in the sermon, but it was an add-on here because I feel like it's very appropriate. Bob Timm and his wife, Georgia, they were members here at our church a few years ago. And Bob Timm used to be an elder here at River Ridge. Last year, as many of you know, Bob Timm's father had passed away. And a few months after this, he found out his wife, Georgia, had cancer. And she had also passed away a few months later. Bob Timm shared in this letter a journal entry from his wife, Georgia, who is now rejoicing in heaven. It read, "The days in the valley are hard, and we don't want to stay there long. But God, He is so faithful. We're not always going to understand the whys of those hard days. We don't need to. We just need to trust God is a promise keeper, and He is faithful to walk with us through whatever He calls us to. They are hard, but God is always good." Georgia tied a knot and she hung on to the end. She never let go. Her faith has now become sight. The hope she hung on to is now her reality. I wish I had time to read the full letter, but Bob Timm later goes on to say in the letter, But God promises to give us His best. We trust and cling to that hope. Georgia and Dad are worshiping Jesus, and I try to comprehend what that might be like. But I can't get my head wrapped around that. I continue to get comments and notes from people that were impacted by Georgia in some way. That never gets old to hear. Yet I know she would want all those people to not see her in this story, but to see Jesus. And she was just being Jesus to those folks. Georgia had a favorite saying, "God's not surprised." She and I laughed at that for our last time together when we got the news from the oncologist that there was nothing more to be done. You see, her passing and even her whole diagnosis was just how Georgia would have wanted it. No prolonged hospital stays, just a summer of lots of conversations and visits from family and friends to say, "See you later." Again, this is what we cling to, that through our faith in Jesus, we will be reunited someday, end quote. Bob Timm has tied a knot and he is hanging on through the power of Jesus. He knows the power of the love of Jesus. His faith is in the Lord. His hope is in Jesus, in the promise of His return, and he is hanging on. Are you holding on to the same rope, church? Because this world is going to fail you. If the hard times have not come, it will. They will come. When the world falls out from underneath of you, will you fall with it? Or will you be hanging on to the rope made up of God's love, his faithfulness, and God's promise, which is our confident expectation and our hope? Because we know that God will pull on this rope someday, and we will be joined with him in paradise. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your promise. God, for your faithfulness, for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. God, thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this world to die for us, to die for a sinner like myself, to save us. Father, I thank you for this church, for this body of believers that you've given to us. Help us to be an encouragement to one another, lifting each other up in Jesus' name, Lord. Father, you are so good. You are good, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon from River Ridge Church in North Mankato, Minnesota. Our prayer is that the Lord would be blessed to use this sermon for his glory and the good of his people. If you have any questions or comments, you can send an email to office@riverridgecato.org. May you be blessed in Jesus.